From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries. Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
The commercial fishing industry in the Bering Sea is weathering some devastating storms with the recent snow and king crab closures. Increased costs for fuel, parts, and labor are also forcing some fishermen to tighten their belts and even consider other career paths. So when a group of Bering Sea fishermen recently heard they'd be getting paid less than they'd hoped for cod this season, they decided to do something about it. KUCB's Maggie Nelson has this report.
The heyday of Alaska's crab fisheries is a long cry away. After 2 years of king crab closures, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game also announced it would be closing Bering Sea snow crab for the 2022 season as well. The estimated economic loss to the fleet for both closures is nearly $290 million. It's the bread and butter for most of the fleet. They fish for other species when they're not crabbing, like cod, as a sort of bonus. But this year, things are different. Without king or snow crab, a lot of boats are relying on other work like fishing for cod, small amounts of tanner crab, and summer tendering gigs just to get by. Chris Studeman is the captain and co-owner of the 104-foot fishing boat Kevlin K. When he caught wind that Trident had posted a devastatingly low price for cod, he started to worry.
This season, with the price that they came out with, it wasn't even affordable for us to operate.
Studeman hopped on social media and struck up a conversation with some other cod fishermen. He says he didn't go in planning anything specific. He just wanted to gather some fishermen and talk. But soon they organized. They decided they wanted a better idea of what most of the canneries would offer them for their catch before they started dropping any gear.
We never really put a name or a label on it. We were just trying to make sure we got a price to come out before we all went fishing. You know, and 40 cents wasn't going to work.
40 cents was what they heard Trident would pay for cod. By the start of the season on January 1st, they hadn't received word from other processors on prices. That's not unusual. Fishermen often head out to catch cod before they know for sure how much they'll be making per pound. Studeman, who's been fishing in the Aleutians for about 2 decades, says that's just kind of how it goes.
I mean, the cannery kind of has always held all the power because they put out a price and everybody goes fishing. And, you know, the only way we can stop that is to get together as a group, as a whole.
This new year, they gave that a try. Studeman and about 25 other boats decided to hold out and not fish.
Because we're able to get the small boats and the big boats both to, you know, be on the same page. I hope in the future that, you know, we can get organized the first week of December and then be talking with the processors before we even attempt to come up. And hopefully we can have a price that everybody can agree on before we even leave our homes.
The boats stood down for just about 3 days. By January 4th, they'd gotten word from most processors on prices. Ultimately, Studeman says they posted a price of about 45 cents per pound across the board. That's less than last year, but in the current climate, the 5 cent jump makes a difference.
Pretty much all the crab fisheries that we've been fishing for with this boat are gone. we don't have a lot left on the table. We got codfish and some barred eye to go catch this year, and then salmon tendrons. So everything's pretty tight for all of us.
A lot affects the price for cod. Tom Enlow is the president and CEO of Unisea, a fish and crab processing plant in Unalaska. He says the price of labor for an entry-level processor has gone up 14% since last year.
The market's not the same as it was a year ago. And so if we paid the fisherman the price we paid a year ago, we were going to lose money. And then, you know, that's not why we're in business.
Enlow says he gets it, though. He'd probably do the same if he were in the harvester's shoes. And he says he's happy the company could come to an agreement with the fishermen.
It's just a little bit of us revisiting our calculations and making sure that we can pay the harvesters what they would like to get paid and still make money.
Unisea is offering 46 cents per pound. And like most other processors, they offer volume incentives to their harvesters. So as the fishermen deliver more product, the price they get for that fish goes up. As for the harvest amounts, boats larger than 60 feet have about 5,000 metric tons of cod to catch this season, and smaller boats have about half that. Those numbers have been on a downward trend for the past several years. Reporting for KUCB, I'm Maggie Nelson.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Trollers turned out at the Sitka Assembly meeting on Tuesday, January 10th, to voice concerns about a court case that could shut down commercial salmon trolling in southeast Alaska. The lawsuit is about Washington killer whales and Alaska king salmon. Fishermen and representatives from the Alaska Trollers Association asked the local assembly to consider contributing $25,000 to their legal defense fund. KCAW's Catherine Rose reports.
The Seattle-based environmental group Wild Fish Conservancy wants to stop the southeast troll fisheries, which they say harm an endangered population of orcas. The group has argued the government failed to adequately address the impact of Alaska's king salmon harvests on southern resident killer whales, whose population in the Puget Sound area of Washington has dropped to critically low levels. And in December, a federal judge in Washington issued a report that puts the fisheries at risk of closure. The Alaska Trollers Association is a defendant in the 2020 suit against the National Marine Fisheries Service. Sitka fisherman Matt Donahoe is the president of the Trollers Group. He says they object to the report and expect their legal expenses to increase.
Anyone claiming that southern resident killer whales are starving because Alaska trollers were taking food from the mouth of their babies would be laughed out of court. That's what we thought. Yet a judge is recommending that the historic southeast Alaska troll fishery, which for 100 years has never closed, will shut down this winter. If that happens, the industry will die, and so will a large part of southeast Alaska's economy.
Around a dozen fishermen asked the assembly to help with the organization's legal defense fund. And it's not just trollers. Linda Benkin leads the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association. Both her group and the trollers drafted a report outlining research into the decline of southern resident orcas. She said the lawsuit ignores a large body of science, which indicates that pollution, not fisheries, are the biggest threat.
They're struggling with habitat issues. They're struggling with what's been done in the world around them. They're in Puget Sound. It's not even fisheries, let alone the fisheries 1,000 miles away up here. And that our fishermen have worked for years to keep the resources up here healthy, to keep our rivers clean, and to take care of the whole ecosystem, and to now have this overreach by an area that's not done their job to take care of that habitat, I think really illustrates who else will be at risk if this lawsuit perseveres.
When it came time for the assembly to consider the proposal, there was support, and some said they'd be interested in giving more than $25,000. Assemblymember Chris Yested, who's a fisherman himself, said he saw it as an investment.
I think the Sitka Troll fleet produces more than $25,000 in tax revenue every year to the city, so I don't think it's too much for them to ask for some of it back to fight their battles.
Assemblymember Crystal Duncan suggested calling for other Southeast communities to throw in money.
I'm just wondering if this is a Southeast-wide problem. Rather than us take and elevate that number beyond 25,000, I guess the question is, have we reached out to say, here's what has happened since, here's how much we're requesting of Sitka, can you match that?
But Duncan also wondered whether the assembly would be setting a precedent that would lead other industry groups to request money to help with legal fees. Sponsor Tor Christensen didn't take issue with that.
I am hard-pressed to think of an event that has threatened to wipe out a huge portion of our economy in one fell swoop, which is, in my mind, that is a definition of emergency. So if somebody came forward with a similar issue, yes, we would discuss it. To me, this is like the landslide or some of, during COVID and things, because this is a real threat to our town.
And then there was a question of where the money should come from. City Administrator John Leach and Municipal Attorney Brian Hansen said the Fisheries Enhancement Fund could likely be used, but Mayor Steven Eisenbeiss preferred the money come from the city's general fund. As for whether the assembly could offer more than $25,000, Eisenbeiss noted that while no one at the meeting spoke against the measure, the assembly had received some pushback in their inbox.
I didn't expect that, but it's for better or for worse what we saw. So I think we should start here, and then as things develop, keep an eye and a pulse on that. From the people in this room and the strength of the people in this room, I have no doubt that we will be continued to be informed on that.
The Sitka Assembly didn't take a vote at the meeting. Assembly members Christensen and Kevin Mosier, who co-sponsored the discussion item, said they'd bring an ordinance to the table for the Assembly to vote on at the next regular meeting, January 24th. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, providing twice weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.